Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation. The millennial generation.
Some of them are the greatest generation. They're more hardworking. They're enormously clever and resourceful. Some of the others are absolutely incorrigible. It's their way or the highway. The rest of us are old, redundant, should be retired. How dare we come in? Anyone over 30 not only can't be trusted, can't be counted upon to be sort of coherent.
I'm Jim Burns. Kids today are growing up in a culture that is moving at a record pace. It is constantly evolving, and entertainment is the force that delivers information to them. The internet has always been a part of their lives, believe it or not, and the cultural norms of their world literally change approximately, listen to this, every year and a half. Now, if you have teens or preteens in your home, you might be feeling a bit worn out trying to keep up with the lives of your children. Well, there's a good reason for that, but there's also some good news. You can learn how to get your arms around the rapidly changing world kids are growing up in. During the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Jay Strack of the Student Leadership University on this most important topic. Understanding millennial kids is our theme today on Homeward, so stay with us. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, Jim, in addition to being the president and founder of Homeward, is also the founder and senior director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family here on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Jim and Doug Fields have created an online curriculum called Youth Sphere. If there's a youth pastor in your world, maybe you are that youth pastor, and you haven't had formal seminary training, but you're looking for an advanced, something that's a little bit more than just a bachelor's degree type of training. Youth Sphere is for you. It's a certificate program credentialed through Azusa Pacific University. For more information, go to homeward.com or go to apu.edu. Today, we're continuing our conversation with Jay Strack on the topic of understanding millennial kids. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and a very happy Jim Burns today because Jay Strack is with us. A great conversation with Jay Strack. Thinking Christianity in a Faithless World. You know what? This is for you, but it's also for your kids. He's the founder and director of Student Leadership University, one of my favorite things to send kids to. It's an organization dedicated to developing unswerving leaders in their late teens who are inspired to make a difference in their world. My daughter Rebecca went to it, and it was life-changing for her. He's the author of many books, including The Three Success Secrets of Shamgar, which is about leadership. He co-authored that with Pat Williams, who's the vice president of the Orlando Magic. Also, a brand new Bible out called the Impact Student Leadership Bible. Great Bible, even a cool cover there. No surprise that Jay Strack is a great communicator when you hear him talk. He's spoken to more than 15 million people in the last 30 years. Amazing, amazing story. Married to Diane. And the Stracks have grown children. They live in Orlando, Florida. Welcome back to our program. Always great to have
Thank
you with
you,
us.
Thank you, buddy. I'm excited about being here.
Now, you...
I got all dressed up for your audience.
Hey, so. You did. You know, I'm not wearing a
I didn't want to say that.
But, I'm just wearing a golf shirt today, but we haven't worn swimsuits yet here in the studio. You know, people are disappointed. I was speaking in Tampa not too long ago. That's the second time I've told you that I've been in Florida and not called you.
Yes,
but I was speaking
you.
In Tampa, and a woman came up to me, and she said, "You look very different. I thought you were going to be, well," and I said, "tall, blonde, good looking." And she said, "Well, yes." I said, "Sorry." I got married early to Kathy because I had that long flowing blonde hair and beard too. Anyway, today we're going to talk about thinking Christianly in a faithless world. Jay, you understand this generation. A lot of parents don't even know the word, but the word is millennials, and this is the largest population, and it is a very unique population. I love this population.
Yes.
They're a challenge. They're wonderful. They ask crazy questions. They do crazy things. I mean, it's our families in many ways, but they're a wonderful group of people. Help us understand this generation of millennials. I mean, who are they? What's going on in their life? Just kind of in summary.
Well, I'll tell you, three or four basic characteristics. Number one, evolution is the norm.
Yes.
They know nothing. Their whole life, they've known the internet. They're not nostalgic for any of the good old days, because ever since they've been on the planet, it's been at the speed of life. You know, beyond the speed of light, the speed of life. Knowledge is doubling approximately every 17 months. In fact, more information, there's a new term out called exabytes, more information will be released this year than in the last 5,000 years.
Amazing.
Because of the term exabyte. So it's unbelievable. So they've never known a world without that, number one. So evolution is the norm. Number two, entertainment is the means. Mm. Now, a lot of times, you know, you'll hear us preachers say, well, I tell you one thing, we don't entertain people when we come here. We know. Thank you for stating the obvious. But the word entertainment means to enter the mind.
Yeah.
And it's not a negative term. It's a very positive term. Now, amusement means not to think. But entertainment means that you – we love the term with student leadership, edutainment. We take them behind the scenes and on the floor of the Coliseum and in the Shark Tank at SeaWorld and with the whale train. We want them to experience this. So evolution is the norm, but entertainment is the means. And this generation wants to be stimulated. Now, they demand a couple things because they know nothing else. They demand selectivity, customization, and they demand to make things very personalized. They expect their worship services to be geared towards them because that's the world they know. They expect the menu at that restaurant to be geared towards them. So simply put, let me give you the greatest example. We've been all watching the political primaries and everything going on and in the search for who's going to be our presidents. And we've interviewed all these college students primarily because of Obama mania. He's attracted all these young people. And they asked a university crowd, who are you for? This young guy was maybe 19, and almost everybody in that audience was for Obama. And I said, why? And they said, well, he's so optimistic. He's so for change. No more business as usual, and he'll get us out of Iraq. All right, now that's we expect them to say that, you know, at that age, university setting, et cetera. Well, but reporters said something I was aghast to hear him say. He said, well, you know, one thing that a lot of folks older than you wish that the young people would consider is that sometimes you have to fight as a nation and you have to be involved as a nation. I mean, I never thought I'd hear a reporter say that.
Right.
But anyway, there's a point to this. The young man said, sir, please don't paint me with that brush. Please don't paint my generation with that brush. I think those that are fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq are the bravest and the best young people in America. And he said, I think we have to defend our country. And I've been taught by my granddad that freedom's not free. And we believe that. Now, I don't believe we ought to be in Iraq. But now, if America ever wakes up and wants to go to the Sudan and end that genocide in Sudan, I'll enlist tomorrow, and I'm willing to die for that tomorrow. Mm. Now, when I heard that statement, I thought, man, this boy's prophetic. Number one, that'll be what our military ends up doing 5 years from now. It's what they're going to have to do. But think about that. What other generation would say, you know what, I'm willing to go fight here, but I'm not going to go fight here. So this generation, they expect personalization, customization. And that's one of those aha moments that just illustrated that. The second thing we've got to remember, this is the most optimistic generation. One of my favorite surveys, do you believe the next Bill Gates, you know, at that time he was the wealthiest man in the world. Do you believe the next Bill Gates that'll come up with all this innovation is going to be in your generation? 87% said yes.
Sure.
51% said, not only is he in my generation, I believe I know the person who's so smart, so creative.
Amazing.
Now, here's my favorite. 21% said, I'm the next Bill Gates. Right. Now, give me that generation.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I've had Vern, Bubba, and Thumper for all these years, you know, our tie at half mask, you know, hey, preacher, get her done. And now we got this generation going, man, we can do anything.
Right.
Now, they believe their government and they believe their churches should do whatever it takes to solve some of the great issues.
Right.
And so what I really think, if parents want insight, this is a generation in search of a cause. They want a cause. They give away an unbelievable amount of their money to things they believe in. They're very generous. They're very quick to serve. Last year, 50% of all middle school and high school students in this country had served in some kind of community service. 50%. It's unheard of. So they're optimistic. They believe in change. They believe there's no limits. But they also think that we ought to personalize things for them. And now we've got the church and others thinking, well, I'm not going to compromise my message. But it's really not about our message.
Right.
It's supposed to be his message.
Right.
And I think that's what parents have to say. Now, am I going to raise my son to be like me or my daughter? I want to guide them. I want to put that sweet taste in their mouth. I want to give them, help them with their goals. And I want to help them soar.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to say at Student Leadership. Don't settle. Soar.
Yeah, no, I love that. Now, when you think about soaring, when you think about even faith and worship like you were talking about, as you know, some of the studies that are coming out are saying that kids in droves are not coming back to church when they graduate from high school. Maybe they're active in their youth group.
Yes.
And then a majority of them aren't in church in September. This doesn't mean that they're not Christian. It just means that they're saying the church isn't relevant to them at that point in time. What do you say to the parent who says, you know, my kids were great. They were involved in youth group. I mean, they're not even bad kids. They just don't right now want to worship in church.
Well, let me come in the side door. I think the greatest thing parents that are believers could do is, and even if they have children that are 8 or 9 or 10, but your church, your congregation, your fellowship, you need to put a priority on your youth pastor. Mm-hmm. Our youth pastors today are the least trained, the least educated, the least mentored, the least paid, and they have the least amount of experience on a church staff. And yet we put them, because they're passionate, with our most impressionable and our most cherished possession, our children, and our future. All right? So number one, we need a real sense, and this is not meant to be an advertisement, but we started an event called the Youth Pastors Institute, where youth pastors come for 4 days, where we intentionally try to help them exceed in the 7 arenas that they've got to excel in. Our children deserve the best. And if you look at what our churches say, if you look at budget and calendar, that's how you establish how important children are and how important young people or teenagers are in a congregation. Yeah. So if I were a parent, I mean, I love the preacher, I love the Lord, I'll tell you, I love the singing, I love the praise, whatever it may be. If I were a parent, my number one goal would be, I want my students in an environment where the Word of God's preached, but where folks are coming to know Christ, but they're active, they're involved on mission locally and around the world. They got a heart for the world. And these young people are responding to a cause. Right. And so I think that's a great thing that a parent can do.
No, you know, very, very good thing. We're going to take a break in just a moment. I was thinking, as you were talking about that, I have a friend who is speaking at a church. He's a great youth worker, one of the nation's finest. And he was kind of doing a consulting thing. He said, well, how many of you became Christians at 60 years old or over? And maybe one person raised their hand, maybe nobody. How many became Christians at 40? Maybe a hand or two. 20 and over. And there, you know, there were more hands, but not very many. How many of you became Christians 20 and under in this particular church? Most of them went up. And he said, well, then why is your church budget only 3% for children and youth, you know, of your entire budget?
It's a good question, and it's one we're posing today here on the Homeward broadcast as we talk about the importance of understanding millennial kids and their cousins, their little brothers and sisters, the plurals that are coming up right behind them. It's just it's an ever-changing world that we're living in, but we realize that as more and more kids are graduating from high school and leaving the church altogether, we've got this two-pronged approach where we need to understand what these kids are all about and make sure that we present the gospel in such a way that the faith stays sticky as they leave home. We'll have more of this conversation with Jim Burns and Jay Strack as Homeward continues in just a moment.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot. So, what am I supposed to think?
Well, what did she do this time?
Well, she walked in the kitchen and I asked her, Heather, how was your day? And she responds, I can't believe you just asked me that. Leave me alone.
And then she just stormed out of the room?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Because she does the same thing to me at least 3 times a day.
But why?
I don't know. Because she's 15.
Most people don't do change very well, especially teenagers. And with all the new things going on in a young person's life, parents are going to see a lot of attitude. One expert on adolescence calls this time the unplaced years, and I'd agree. When your child is 13, 14, even 15 years of age, he or she is going through some major psychological changes. Let your son or your daughter know that you are there for them. And by the way, for a free download of our tip sheet on how to raise a teenager without losing your sanity, go to our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. You know, our kids are growing up in a culture where their values are often influenced by the media and by a secular worldview. It's up to us as parents to teach them how to think Christianly. And today we're talking about that, thinking Christianly in a faithless world. Jay Strack with us. What a privilege to have him. He's the director, the founder of Student Leadership University, a great, great program. You've got to go to our website and we'll connect to theirs today so you can get a copy of that. Written several great books. Married Diane, they live in the Orlando area. Jay, if parents will intentionally think about their kids' spiritual life, sex education, drug education, you know, all the different things in their life. And if they say, look, we'll invest in Student Leadership University, we'll invest in youth group time, we'll invest in a vacation that has some, you know, meaning, we'll invest in doing a mission trip together and whatnot. It really pays off. The dividends are amazing.
No question. And please remember, this generation, more than any other generation, says, I love my parents and my heroes for the first time. Right. My heroes, number one answer, parents. Number two, grandparents.
Right. Which is pretty great.
It's amazing. And why, if they don't have a family, Jim, I'm sorry, if they don't have a family, they want to go online and get a family.
Exactly.
That's community so important,
you know,
to
community
them.
So important. You even see that with gangs. You know, kids, you know, why are you in a gang? Well, that's, you know, my
that's
community.
My family.
You know, pornography, various issues. But the other one is, which is amazing, and I want you to comment on this, and you actually write about this in another one of your books called Mercury Rising, 8 Issues That Are Too Hot to Handle, incredible issues as well. Let's talk about technical virginity. It's an interesting group of people, these millennials, because they're kids who believe that they're trying to stay sexually abstinent, but to them, sexually abstinence is doing everything but sexual intercourse.
I'll go this far, but I just won't do this one thing.
No, exactly. And you know, you've been a great spokesperson for the True Love Waits campaign. I believe in love absolutely. And yet, kids will take it, not that the speakers are doing this, but kids will take it to a place, True Love Waits, absolutely, but I'll do everything else but. Talk to that.
Well, I tell you, and I'm trying to think of a delicate way to say this, but, you know, there was a sexual act that the generation before my generation felt like that is absolutely... even among couples, you know, no way. And then there was our generation came along, and I thought, well, that's something very intimate, only between a husband and wife. This generation feels like there's nothing to that, and we can do that. And that's what that has really become the great issue today.
Right.
And it's not the actual act, but it's what this generation thought was one of the most intimate. Right. Acts that could take place. So it's just amazing, the shift. And they talk about it so much. I mean, have you, you know, well, I was with this boy. Or, you know what? Let's go do this. Let's get this out of the way. And then we can go have a good time with the guys. Because they know that young men have got one thing on their mind.
Right.
And so these beautiful, radiant young girls, because they talk all the time, they're online all the time, and they've heard it in the movies, and we've heard presidents talk about it. I mean, we've had some nonsense go on, that now that's become the norm. And so that's what we mean by being a technical virgin. In fact, I no longer use the term virgin a lot, other than the virgin birth of our Savior. I talk about the word virtue, which means moral excellence. Mm. And that we have got to be a virtuous young man, moral excellence on purpose. And then I tell kind of a funny story, Jim. A girl, real cute girl, lived down the street from me. And somehow I thought, if I rode my motorcycle down and hit the brakes on that gravel driveway and just would spray gravel all over her and the windows and all, that would really, really impress her. You know, I don't know. I was a bright kid. I needed a helmet on my bicycle, my motorcycle, obviously. But one day she came out, Rosemary looking as only Rosemary could look, and there I went, man, I'm going down there, and I hit that driveway, but my brakes didn't work. And I went through the hedge, I went through the neighbor's yard, and I went head first into the creek that was back there. Now, it's hard to look cool. Well, the brakes also, the message also, the brakes don't always work. So you can't play this game where I'm going to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to put on the brakes.
Right. No, great,
and this is sacred. And this is holy. And by the way, the age has now gone up even another year. They're 27 now for this generation for first-time marriages. Right. And, you know, we've got to really help them understand that this will we try to teach students to begin with the end in mind. Think about what you want your wedding day to be. You want to wear white. You don't want people giving each other high fives when you walk down the aisle. You know, all these commercials about, well, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, and, you know, and they advertise it on TV now because it's so rampant.
Right.
And what happens is nobody ever helps young people stop, hit the pause button, the reset button, and say, all right, now we're going to take a moment. Let's look at the end in mind. When you go to your class reunion, I tell about a beautiful girl walking in. She had done well, beautiful family, radiant girl. And she walked away, and a guy next to me said, yeah, boy, when she was 14, I remember. And all that girl, when she was 14, thought this was the coolest guy in the world. Well, now, 10-year reunion after graduation from high school, this guy couldn't even get an appointment to get in to see her. I mean, he wasn't the coolest thing in the world. Right. He didn't go anywhere with his life, and it was a train wreck, all right? But at 14, he was a couple years older. He likes me. And for her, it was love. This is the one for the rest of life. But if you fast forward it, now she knows she was just a notch on his belt. So that's one thing I try to spend a lot of time helping students do, that what I do today determines all of my tomorrows. I purchase my tomorrow today. The Lord says, sanctify yourself today. Set yourself apart today. So tomorrow I can do great wonders in your life. So you said it well. The average kid's thinking about this weekend and going to the mall and getting a 14-year-old that's like an AM radio station on scan to think about their future is a tough assignment, but that's what parents have got to do, and that's what certain experiences have got to bring to their life.
Absolutely. Now, we don't have much time left, but I'd love for you to talk about how you encourage us to encourage our own kids to be salt and light in the world of darkness.
Well, I tell you, they want a cause. They want a cause. They believe in America, but they believe that America is capable of so much more than she's doing. And you know what? I think they're right. And one thing, us as parents that are conservative in our theology and sometimes conservative in our politics, this generation looks at us and we're slow or wrong on most of the social issues. We were slow and wrong on the civil rights issue. I know that's a generality. There's always exceptions. We were slow and wrong on poverty. We thought, well, the liberal denominations will handle that. We'll preach the gospel. We were slow and wrong on AIDS, on caring about people with AIDS and ministering, and now on the environment. And the list just goes on and on. So occasionally we got to be right and on time.
Right.
So if we want them to be salt and light, they've got to see us. We're back to being that model, you know. Right. We've got to be salt and light, number one. Number two, the reason we take them to D.C. and the reason we take them, we're doing a deal in Jordan for our 401 students with the King of Jordan, with 100 Jordanian students and going to a refugee camp, is we want them to see that I can make a difference as a teenager and that God is preparing me today during these teen years so that tomorrow I'm in a place to be a great servant. We believe leadership begins at the feet of Jesus. And when they fall in love with Jesus, and by the way, that's how you help your kid overcome pornography. And if he's the great passion of your life, he consumes all those other passions. Remember Moses throwing the rod down, and serpent, and then the Egyptians had their serpents, and then Moses' serpent ate those serpents. And the Hebrew word is your mama, you know, when that happened, you know? And so I tell students, make Jesus the great passion of your life. And we're young men, young women, we're going to have passions. But if I make him the great passion of my life, he controls all those other passions. And then you get a great cause. God has called me to make a difference in the world. But mom and dad, church, pastor, please remember, they don't want to hear what we believe anymore. They want to see what we believe.
Right, and they want us to do it with authenticity. Well, thank you for being with us.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with the president of Student Leadership University. His name is Jay Strack. He's a regular contributor to the Homeward broadcast, and we're so grateful to have had this time with Jay talking about understanding millennial kids. Dr. Jim Burns has poured a lot of his knowledge and his heart into a book on helping kids through the teen years and helping parents raise them. That would be us. The book is called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. If you order a copy from our Homeward Online Resource Center today, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we are completely listener-supported in that effort. For complete details on ordering Jim Burns' book, Teenology, go to homeward.com.
Well, if it seems like your son or daughter has turned into some kind of a creature from another world, well, don't panic. It's probably just the onset of adolescence. Read what they read, listen to what they listen to, and watch what they watch. You'll understand them. You won't always like it, but you'll understand it. So please don't overreact if possible. Just hang in there and remember that this generation of kids may have, well, more of a knack of using gadgets and gizmos than ours did. However, at the end of the day, what kids say they want more than anything else is a solid relationship with their parents. Some things just don't change. So make sure you make that available for them and make sure that you're proactively going after it. Even if they're not asking for it, that's what they want.
That's for sure. And one of the reasons why Homeward is here and has been here since 1985 is the fact that there are parents who have these questions about how do I raise my kids, and there are kids who are needing moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles to be those adult filters for them as far as this ever-changing world that we live in. We have been privileged to be a part of your ministry family for all these many years. And if you're just joining the Homeward broadcast and are new to our ministry, we welcome you. We've been doing this, as I mentioned, for nearly 30 plus years here, and we're able to do so because of your prayers and faithful financial support. Simply put, we run this ministry on a shoestring budget as efficiently as we possibly can. Your faithful contributions of $50, $100, even $500 go such a long way toward helping us achieve that goal. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com, or for more information, call 800-397-9725. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.